that you received at the door. You also should have received a little sheet on the inside. These are actually kind of your sermon notes to follow along. What you see on your notes that's inside your bulletin really is just going to be the slides that are going to be up on the screen. And I know sometimes slides change a little too quick for us to get all of them. And so what I do is I try to reprint that onto paper so you've got a copy that you can take home. If you want to take notes, you can write them down somewhere on that sheet of paper as well. And that way you can look some things up. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17 especially. And we're going to be talking about to remember whose you are and act accordingly. God's got a plan for you. Did y'all know that? God has a specific plan and will for each and every one of our lives. And His number one will that we see throughout the Scripture is that He desires to glorify Himself through you. And so the best way that He can do that is when we are getting in agreement with Him and we're going the same way He's going. Now I can tell you, God can glorify Himself through anybody. He can even glorify Himself through lost people even before He destroys them and sends them to hell. And I know that sounds very harsh, and people say, oh, that was harsh, preacher, talking about hell. Hell is a real place, folks. And I want everybody to know hell is the just punishment, and it is eternal. It's the just punishment for any of us who rebel against an eternal God and do not repent and give our lives to the only one who can save us, that's Jesus Christ. And as we know, the only reason why we can be saved through Jesus is because He was the sinless Son of God who came, lived a sinless life, actually fulfilled every law in His life that there was to be fulfilled, and then He voluntarily gave His life as a payment, a substitute for us. It's called the substitutionary atonement. And it is an essential Christian doctrine. You cannot be a Christian without truly believing that. And so it is essential that we understand that Jesus was our substitute on the cross, and He still is today. Amen? And so His perfect life paid for our imperfect life and our sins. And so we find our completeness in Him as we submit to Him. But hey guys, that ain't where it ends. That's just where it starts. You see, He's got this rich, full life for us ahead of us. And it comes with trials and tribulations. He told us it would. But here's the thing. As we endure with Him, He is glorified. Do you feel it? An amen welling up in your heart right now? Because you see, guys, those struggles that you go through, those aren't just arbitrary. Those aren't just with no good reason. If you will endure with Christ, He will use it all to paint this beautiful tapestry of His glory. And it will include your little piece of that puzzle. And I'm just going to tell you, in heaven, we are going to be in awe forever. Forever we will be in awe of the awesome things that He has been doing throughout history. In your life, in my life, to bring us together. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, it is a miracle that we are here today. I came from a different, totally different part of the state. God has brought me here to be the pastor. I don't know about your story, but many of you are transplants into this area as well. Some of you are natural-born citizens of Washington County. I give a double thumbs up to y'all. You guys are full-fledged natural-born citizens. The rest of us have just been grafted in. We're like the engrafted branches into this area. Do I get an amen? All right, I'll give you a thumbs up on that too, because I'm one of them. But here's the thing, guys. In Christ, there's no separation. It's a miracle for us to be part of this Cadet Baptist Church right here. And I feel blessed to be here today. And so let's go ahead and open up our Bibles, and we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. And I would like for you guys to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, please. For those of you who can. If you can't, I understand, but if you can, I think it's good for us to show respect and to also say, this Word is for me today. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? When we read this, this isn't for them or they or somebody else. Boy, I'm glad so-and-so heard this. I want us to realize it's for me today. So let's read Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's say amen. The word of God is true, and the word of God is good. Let me pray. Dear God, I just pray that you would bless us through the reading of your word, through the study of your word this morning, and help us to see what one thing we can do starting today to help this be true of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's have a seat. We're going to kind of break this down just a little bit. First of all, in that verse 11, you know, what we need to understand, guys, is in Christ, it's a level playing field at the foot of the cross. Okay? It don't matter where you came from. Once you've entered into the family of God, all you need to really be concerned about is where you're going, because we're all going there together. So I want you to look at your neighbors or all around you. For every believer in here, you're going to spend forever with them. And so praise God He brought us together now. That way we can get practiced up, okay? Because we're going to spend forever together. Now, another thing I also want to tell you, if there's a little something that annoys you about the neighbor to your right or your left, I want you to know it won't annoy you in heaven. And you're thinking, yeah, because they'll get that straight. No, even you will be changed, all right? We're all going to be perfect in heaven, amen? We're working toward it right now. And so God wants us to be practicing up for that. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter if a person started out a Greek or a Jew, or another way we would understand that, Gentile or Jew, okay? It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It don't matter if you're a barbarian, Scythian, or even if you come to Christ as a slave. Don't matter. Christ is all, because it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's all about Him. And in heaven, that's what's going to be awesome about heaven. It's all about Christ. And we'll all be around the throne worshiping Him forever and ever and ever. Do I get an amen and a hand clap of praise to God? Amen. You see, here's how we get there, though, guys. I want you to understand a little bit about this next verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Too often in Bible study groups that I've been in, we get so hung up over the phrase elect of God, or even just that one word, elect, that we don't go on to read the rest of that sentence and really try to break it down. I've seen a lot of Bible studies where people get all hung up over that word of elect. Well, I want you to understand a little bit better about this word. It's a Greek word, and it's called, we're just going to get this out of the way so that we can get on to the rest of the Scripture, okay? I want us to understand what our standing is with God, okay? And so this Greek word, electos, and it means to be picked out, chosen by God, after the one, the Messiah, who is chosen by God. Okay, so Jesus is like the first of our kind, and He is the chosen one. That would be another way to say Messiah. The anointed one is another way to say He is the Messiah. But I want you to know that if you're a Christian today, it's because God literally put His hand on you and opened your heart so that you could see who He is. There is nobody in the world who's ever been saved that hasn't been saved except by the anointing of God Himself on your heart. You see, before, I used to pick this book up and I'd try to read it, and I'd say, well, it must be important because, like, it's the world's bestseller, like, forever. And so I must need to read this book. And I'd pick this book up and I'd try to read it, and I'd get to about page 5 and I'd say, it's like Greek to me. I couldn't understand even the first part of it to speak of. It's like, what's the significance of this? And of course I can understand the English words that are in there. I like to put it together in my head, so maybe I just need to go read somewhere else in it. And I'd read there, and it was like, I still am not getting this thing. It's like, so then somebody said, well, read the New Testament. So I started reading the New Testament and started talking about all these miracles that Jesus did and all this awesome stuff that's going on. And I'm like, can I really believe that? And it was like Greek. It really was. Until after I gave my heart to Jesus and he anointed me with the Holy Spirit in that process, it was him who moved in the Holy Spirit to begin to open my eyes to spiritual truths that I didn't understand before. And that was by his choosing and his will, so he gets all the glory. I want you to know, I'd like to stand up here and tell you today that one day I just got real smart and I searched for God and I found him. It ain't how it went down, guys. This just ain't how it went down. My wife was praying desperately for me because I was a mess. My life was a mess. I was a functional mess. You know, I showed up to work. I made a living for my family and all that stuff. But man, on the inside and in my private time, I was struggling bad. You know what? God even perfectly ordained that struggle because he wanted to draw me to himself. And in the fateful night where I finally just threw my hands up and surrendered and said, God, I give up. And he said, good, now it's time for you to start learning. And he showed me who he was. And I called out to him that night by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I gave my heart to Jesus and I was born again. And I'm just going to tell you, the next day I walked outside and I seriously said it, like with audible words. I don't know if my wife remembers it or not, but I remember it clearly. Walked outside onto my front porch and I looked out over the, you know, the trees and everything. We kind of lived in the country. And I said, has it been this beautiful all along? Because it's never looked like this before. And I'm just going to tell you, that's the Holy Spirit of God working in a person's heart. And it was God who called me. In fact, if you have any doubt about this, we're going to look at what it says in other scriptures to kind of go along with this, being the elect. In Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we'll cover it up on the boards, or you can follow along in your notes. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Okay, who is that? Jesus. The fullness of time had come at the exact perfect time. He even told it through his prophets when this exact time would be and everything. Of course, didn't understand until after it happened, really. But here he was. Here he is. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive, here's an important word, the adoption as sons. Adoption. Hold that word. Keep that word. Make sure that word stays in you. Okay? And moving on. And because you are sons and daughters, by the way, okay, this is one of those gender-neutral areas. It's talking about being a child of God. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. What does that mean, Abba, Father? Can anybody tell me what Abba means? Daddy! Okay, so a lot of times, before you get saved, you think of God as being this distant God who's just kind of maybe, he may exist, and if he does, he's so far away, he would never hear me if I cried out to him. But as soon as you realize who God is, and he puts in your heart to call out to Jesus, then you realize he's not only so close to you, he begins to live in you, and he gives you this spirit to be able to say, not distant, Father, I hope you hear me, but Daddy. Do I get an amen to that? Because that's like huge. I had a good dad. You know, he wasn't a perfect dad. None of us had a perfect dad on this side of heaven. I got a perfect father in heaven, though. I got a perfect daddy. But I'll tell you about my dad. Whenever I had a problem, I would contemplate it, and I'd see if maybe, you know, I had answers and things like that. But whenever I really needed help, I knew my dad was there. I knew my dad was there. And I knew I could go sit with him, or even as a little child, I could sit on his lap, and I could say, Daddy, I got this problem. You know? I'd say, Dad, here's my problem. Now, since he was an imperfect father, he didn't always have a perfect answer, but he was always accessible. And so now, I know not everybody had that experience, and I'm sorry if you didn't get that experience on earth, but here's my good news for you. You got that experience in our Heavenly Father. I just want to share a little bit of a comparison to the earthly situation and a much more perfect heavenly situation. And so it's not hard for me to imagine being able to say, Daddy, I got this problem. And I'll just tell you, you ain't never had a problem that God can't handle. and you've never had a problem in your life or even anything that you've done that's going to shock God somehow, okay? Because God's already seen it, and He still wants you to come to Him and say, Daddy, I got a problem. Or Daddy, I got a joy. Or Daddy, I just want to spend some time with you today. I'm a dad, and I love it when my kids come up to me, not really needing anything, and just say, Daddy, I love you. There's no other better reason than that. I'm telling you, that gives me more joy in my heart than anything. That's the way the Heavenly Father wants to see His children come to Him. Don't just go to Him when you got a problem. Go to Him all the time. And then when you got a problem, you'll already be there. But I want you to understand something, guys. You're chosen of God. God adopted you. God adopted you. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That means you are going to inherit everything that He has. That is an amazing truth, guys, and it's because of His adoption. So when we break down the word adoption, well, in fact, let's go ahead and look at one more scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, just in case you think that's just an obscure area that I'm going to. There's more. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You see, guys, it's all about Him. Have you noticed that? Like, the entire thing's all about Him. It's all about Him wanting to include us in that blessing. According to His good will, His good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Guys, it's about Him reaching down from heaven and snatching us up from hell, from heading straight into hell. And He says, you're mine. Not only my slave, but no, my sons and daughters. And you guys, when we look up that word that's used there, the Greek word for adoption in the next slide, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I would butcher it to death, but you see it right there? It means adoption, the taking of a child as one's own. So who's taking who? It's God taking us, right? It occurs only rarely before the Christian period. I want you to understand this is a concept that is almost exclusively in Christ. But they used a human concept here to try to explain it. I want you to understand something. This is coming from a Roman context. And in ancient Rome, in their culture, you could disown a natural child if they were disobedient or disgraceful. You could say, hey, I was stuck with them. I didn't really choose them. And they really disgraced me, which is kind of sad to think of that people would actually do that. But in their law, you could actually disown them. But here's the deal, guys. If you adopted somebody, their law said you could never, ever, ever disown them or discard them. And so by the fact that we aren't just naturally born Christians, we are adopted into Christianity, I want you to praise the Lord for that, because that means something better. That means God wanted us, God wanted you, and He will never get rid of you. Amen. Amen? That's right. And so, guys, here's the deal. He's got a plan for you. That's why He adopted you. Okay, now what always happens whenever I preach or teach anything like this, a whole bunch of stubborn people will say, okay, then that means God didn't choose certain other people over there, and I'm going to try to figure out who they were so I don't have to pray for them or hope for them. Do not go there, please. That is so frustrating, guys. Here's what God actually said in His Word as well. If you want to turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and following, 1 through 4. I'm going to read a little section of Scripture to you, just in case you had that thought a minute ago, or just in case you've heard that thought from someone else. If God has chosen certain ones, then it means God hasn't chosen other ones, and so I'm going to figure out who they are, and I'm just not going to hope for them. I'm not going to waste my time on them. Guys, here's the deal. You can't do that. Because too much of God's word tells us not to do that. Okay, first of all, I want you to know Jesus said if anybody comes to him, he's not going to cast him away, and that's a promise. All right, so you can encourage anybody. And if God works in their heart, they will. And if they do, God won't turn them away. He accepts everybody who comes to him. Okay, here's the next one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Did you see the all there? The all means all. Don't try to undo that. I've heard hyper-predestinationalists or hyper-Calvinists say, well, that all don't really mean all. It just means all the people who are saved. No, it doesn't. It means all. Because it doesn't say just all the people who are saved. It says all. And in fact, it goes on to say who's the all. For kings and all who are in authority. Do you know who was ruling when this was written? Nero. Look him up sometime, guys. He's like the most wicked, evil person. He looked like the Antichrist had come. He was that bad. Okay? And so he's saying that you need to pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do I get an amen? Amen. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, you couldn't come to Christ unless Christ does something in your heart. The Father draws you. Jesus even said that. But he tells us to pray for everybody to have that experience. Okay? And so we're going to let him sort out the rest of it, and we know that he's big enough, and we know we don't need to worry because God's not going to do anything wrong. He's going to do it all right. Yeah, but for our perspective, we need to pray for the world to come to Christ. We need to live our life to offer it to everybody we come in contact with. And I'm going to tell you, when God works, they will come. And that's up to him. So we leave it in his hands. But I want you to know, out of all of that I just said and taught, number one thing I want you to get personally, God chose you. Not so that you could be arrogant about that, because that's not a thing of arrogance. He actually chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So you can raise your hand to that one. I'm one of the foolish things. That's why he chose me, amen? Because I couldn't do it myself, will bring him all the more glory because he could do it in me, you see. So I won't be ashamed of my weakness because God chose me and God did it to bring himself glory. So, with all this in mind, that lends to the question or the thought to remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to. My father-in-law used to say that every now and then. He said that was something his dad would always say to them when they walked out the door, especially when they became teenagers. And they would walk out the door of the house and they'd say, "See you later, Dad." And he'd say, "Remember whose you are, son." He wasn't just talking about the family name. He was talking about the Heavenly Father. Remember whose you are. Don't just remember who you are, but remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to. Because, guys, we're representing him whether we like to think of it or not. We are being an example of what God is like if we are a Christian and we're going out into the world to live for him. You are going to be an example to somebody. And that's what he goes on to say in this next verse, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, okay, therefore, as God, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. So last week, we preached the sermon from the beginning of this chapter. The beginning of this chapter, verses 1 and on down, we're all about the do nots. Okay, so if you're in Christ, the one thing, you want to look at the things above, but do not do these things. And he gave us all these do nots. Some people think that the Bible is just nothing but do nots, but it's not true. It's a whole lot of do's. There's a lot more do's than there are do nots in the Bible. And here's some of them. You're part of the church, guys. If God chose you to be part of the church and you've received his blessing to be part of his body, his children, his family, you are holy and you are beloved. That word holy don't mean perfect. It means set apart. Okay? You're set apart. You're the elect of God. He is holy. And now you are part of that holy group. You're set apart, which means you're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. In fact, this is what you want to do. You want to put on tender mercies. Guys, this tells us you can't be a Christian, be example of God, and being all callous and angry all the time. Being unmerciful all the time. Okay, now you might struggle with it some days. Well, let me tell you, you need to come back to the baseline. The baseline says, as a child of God, put on tender mercy. Okay, next one. Put on kindness. Do I get an amen? This is putting on the new man. Remember last week we talked about put off the old man, put on the new man. Is this what the new man's going to look like? He's going to have tender mercy. He's going to have kindness. He's going to have humility. Do I get an amen to that? Humility. The root word of that is humble, right? The same root word that works into humble. Humility, guys. You need to be humble. You need to have meekness. All right? Now, you notice I made it sound very, very much strong on the M. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. It's strength under control. I want you to understand, if you got the Holy Spirit living in you, you have got the power that raised Jesus from the dead living in you.
Amen.
But guys, that is never to be used to hurt or harm. Just like Jesus, he was one, and smoldering flax he did not put out, a bruised reed he did not crush. You see, he was gentle with the people who were sinners looking for help. You know, the only time he ever showed any kind of anger. You know, anger can be a righteous thing, and for him, he was able to do it righteously. The only time he ever showed any of the anger was at the religious community who was hurting other people because they wouldn't receive him. Okay, but as for us, we need to be meek. We need to be humble. We need to be kind. We need to put on tender mercies. Am I getting an amen on any of these? We need to be long-suffering. Okay? Dear Brother Harold, he used to love to say that. He would say, long-suffering.
Amen.
What does it mean? It means to suffer long. Sometimes we've got to suffer, guys. And sometimes you may be suffering because that other person isn't doing the way that they should be. It means patience, but I think it's a good description of what kind of patience we're talking about. Some people start getting into a struggle and they go, well, this must not be God's will for me because God wants me to be happy. I'm going to tell you what God really wants more than your happiness is your holiness. And sometimes he will use the suffering in your life. In fact, it is always perfectly designed to help make us more holy. You see, God's got a plan for you. Now, he may eventually remove you from that, and it may be a very unhealthy environment that you have to get out of. I can get an amen on that too. But he wants you to be patient while you're going through it and to understand he's got a purpose in it. Okay? For he uses all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Keep that in mind. Verse 13, bearing with one another. This kind of gives us the impression that sometimes it's going to be hard to stay together. I got one amen. She knows me. Come on, we need some more amens or I'm going to feel self-conscious here. Okay, we all know that sometimes it's hard to stay close and stay together on things, but he wants us to learn to bear with one another in the family of God, right? And forgiving one another. Come on now, amen! Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You see, this isn't just something Paul's laying on the church. Jesus had already said it in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me as I forgive others. In the same way as. So when you ask God for forgiveness, I want you to look inside and say, God, how am I doing at forgiving others? Guys, if you keep bringing up bad things about that other person and you keep showing that you're still upset about that thing that they did over and over and over again for months and years later, you haven't forgiven them. Yeah, I know, I got loud there. But I see it too often. So here's my question. Do you want God to forgive you all the way? All right, then, be willing to forgive others. Now, that don't mean you got to always stay around them. You may not be able to have a relationship with them unless they repent. I get all that, but you sure can forgive them. And forgiveness looks like this. Sometimes they may have done something so horrible to you that like you can't even imagine forgiving them for it. So here's what you do. You say, God, I don't know how to do it, and in my human fleshly heart I can't, but I'm willing to. So help me forgive them. And I'll just tell you, God can do something supernatural in your heart. And like I say, He doesn't always restore the relationship. Whatever happened, I don't know. But He can do one thing. He can heal your heart of that bitterness. And He can take it away. Do I get an amen? Because that's what we need to be rich in Christ. You see, if you're part of God's family, what's the number one thing any parent wants with their children? Like, I don't come home from work, a long, hard day, dealing with problems here and there, and I walk up to the door and I get ready to turn the doorknob and I think, man, whenever I get in there, I sure hope all my kids are fighting with one another. That is not ever my thought. Sometimes it is the case. But I'm thinking, oh God, I hope they've had a day where they have peace and they have love and there's some harmony whenever I open that door. Sometimes I don't even have to open the door to know that ain't the case. It's ruminating. But that's very seldom. And we're seeing fewer and fewer of those days because we're just trying to practice what God's Word says. And sometimes it requires repentance and forgiveness to move on. But here's the deal, guys. God wants peace and love in His family. Because that's who He is. He doesn't want fighting and anger and strife. If you're part of the family of God and God adopted you in this family and you come in, you need to be bringing some peace and love and joy with you. And you know how you do that? Get out of the way. Let God do it through you. Because those are all fruit of the Spirit. And so as we continue on, verses 14 and 15, above all these things, put on love. Okay? So, last week we were taking off, we were getting rid of the old man. This week we're putting on the new man, and this is what he looks like. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If you want to see completeness happen in your life, then you need to learn to love. Let God love through you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Guys, you notice how the thankfulness is like a bookend to the whole thing. You get rid of thankfulness, none of those books stand up. You get the thankfulness in the right place, it helps hold everything upright. And you'll be able to move forward in these other attributes of God that He wants to live through you. We need to begin to be thankful. I can tell you, in every day, you can find something to be thankful for. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's harder than others. But I've told you all that have been here a few times, and I'm sure you've heard me say it, but sometimes I can be a person who can dwell on the bad things. Can you be that way too? Okay, I'll confess my sin, but I want you to look at yourself. Okay, don't just look at me because you go, oh man, I can't believe the pastor's that bad. Go ahead and just look inwardly. Think, can I sometimes maybe just dwell on bad things? Okay, here's what my wife would always say to me. Sometimes she does it too, and I have to kind of remind her. So like, she's not perfect, but she comes with some wisdom on this. And she used to come up to me and say, name five things you're thankful for right now. Well, sometimes I couldn't make it past about two. But I could always find one. And I'd make up the other ones just to kind of get her off my back. Oh, you, definitely for you, honey. I would always start there. That's a good one. That's a good line. But then beyond that, guys, I'm telling you, when you start thinking about it, we got all kinds of stuff to be thankful for. And if you'll just focus on that, I'll tell you what, God starts to put the rest of it in place. Be thankful. I love that. And it's just so simple. And be thankful. In fact, as we go through Colossians, you're going to find that word a little bit more. But we're going to end with these last two verses in this question. How do I find peace, the peace of God? That's what I want. Do y'all want peace? I want peace. All right? No matter what happens, no matter what kind of storm I'm in, I'm okay. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see in my own life. I'll be okay. And so this tells us how to do it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Guys, this is talking about part of that peace we find when we're together. Okay? When we're together, the more Christian activity that you do with your brothers and sisters, the more that you'll be built up to find more peace. As long as we're doing what He says, and He's saying, get the word of Christ in you, let it dwell richly in all wisdom in you, and teach and admonish one another in these different ways, and we're going to go through these ways, in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right. We're going to do a little time out. This is a biblical command to sing. I got one amen. This is a biblical command to sing.
Amen.
Guys, this didn't say you have to sing on key. This doesn't mean that every note has to be perfect. But it is a biblical command to sing because I'm telling you, every one of these things that are listed have to do with songs. The psalms that are in your Bible were actually Hebrew songs that were sung in worship to God. The hymns are songs. The spiritual songs are songs. And you need to be singing with grace in your hearts. It doesn't say like you would win American Idol. Because I'm telling you, that is adverse to the actual family of God. That is the complete opposite. God is not concerned with what note you sing it in. He's concerned with the joy that's in your heart. I'll tell you what. I lived in a family that didn't sing a lot. Okay? My mom's here, so I'm going to be real careful how I say all these things. No, we didn't sing a lot. And I married a woman who loves musicals. It was her favorite kind of entertainment. And I said, I can't do those musicals because, like, those musicals are fake. People don't live like that. And then I went to her house and I found out people do live like that. Oh, my goodness. It totally rocked my world. And so then I started going to church later on in life and there's all these people singing around me and it made me really uncomfortable. And so I'm like, well, whenever I sing, I'm not going to sound like them. But I'm telling you, it's like the Spirit of God began to well up in me. He began to churn, and I just couldn't stand it. And so I started singing real low and kind of quiet, but I was saying the words. And all of a sudden, I realized one day I was at work, and I was getting kind of depressed, and I was starting to do that bad thing, you know, think about bad things. And I noticed one of those songs I had sang at church started to come to my mind, and I started singing it out loud. And I'm telling you, it chased the devil away from me. God wants us to sing to Him. He wants us to know Him in song. He is a biblical command to sing to Him. Okay, now I know I just made some people here mad. It's okay. You don't have to do it for me, but I want you to see it's in the Word. He's not just saying that in some general sense. He listed three different examples. Okay? So that we would know He means it. And in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Praise the Lord, guys. You may be sitting here right now thinking, well, it all sounds good to me, but I'll tell you, I haven't really ever taken that first step. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then, if God is drawing your heart today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. And I'll tell you, what does it mean for your heart to be drawn? It means you've become very sorrowful over your own sin, and you know you need help. You need a Savior. You know that if you were to die today, there's a real good chance you'd end up in hell. Or you're not sure that you would go to heaven. And if you're feeling that way, then I would suggest the number one thing you need to do is just pray to God. That's a good place to start. Just say, Father, I know I'm a sinner and my sin has offended you and I deserve hell. But in the name of Jesus, I want to turn my life over to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He rose on the third day. If you believe those things, then you can turn your life over to Him and live for Him. And God will give you the richness of salvation. And I can tell you, salvation don't start whenever you die. You don't have to wait for it. Salvation starts the moment you give your heart to Jesus. And so let me pray for you. And if you wish to give your heart to Jesus today, you come forward during this last song or take us off to the side or somebody and let's pray together. But let me pray for you first. Dear Father, I pray this is not a time of manipulation from the pastor or the music. This is not a time that we want to try to trick people into saying a prayer. This is not a time where we say this that some kind of hocus-pocus words can save a person. This is a time for each individual to do business with you. God, this is a time that we're going to sing this last song, and Lord, we're just going to worship you, and in that time of worship, if there's anybody here that desires to give their heart to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, maybe it's a time of rededication. We may have some Christians in the house here today that say, Lord, I haven't been doing this. This isn't how I've been living. This isn't how I've been doing, and I want to start today to live anew for you. And maybe this is the day they need to rededicate their heart. Same process. Admit it, confess it, repent of it, which means turn away from that old way of doing things, and turn to Jesus. Because not only can He be your first time of receiving eternal life, He's also every other time of recommitting our heart to Him is still Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank You that You are always there, and we turn our lives over to You anew today. In Jesus' name, amen.